Well, good morning. Well, thank you everybody for having me this morning. Brother Sparks is sick, so y'all have got me. So that's unfortunate for y'all. This morning, if we please open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. As you're opening there, I want to thank y'all for having me here this morning. Again, Brother Sparks is out, so y'all have me. I want to introduce myself real quick. I am Scott Lyle. I'm a member at Maryville Church Christ. I have been a deacon there since, oh goodness, almost 20 years. Time flies when you're having fun. Born and raised in Hazel Green, Alabama, so I'm local. Went to Hazel Green High School. My lovely bride is here with me. I'll try not to embarrass her too much. Got two girls that are now 27 and 24, and they've all moved off. One's in Birmingham. One's off in Atlanta, so we've empty nested, and for those that haven't done that, I highly encourage it. We enjoy that part now. But all right. Luke chapter 17, I want to specifically focus on verses 11 through 19. In this text, we're going to find Jesus is going to be confronted by 10 lepers. Now, we all have heard this historical account. Jesus here is traveling to Jerusalem. We'll kind of set a real quick background for this. He is traveling through an area around Samaria and Galilee. Now, this is, to use a more modern phrase, this is a rough neck of the woods. This is a rough neighborhood. This is where a lot of robbers, thieves, those kind of people would lay in wait and basically attack travelers as they're making their way through, because people were traveling, they just don't travel. You know, it was not a, hey, let's hop in the car and drive to the mall. These kind of travels, they would carry much of what they owned with them, so whenever they would make these kind of journeys, they were ripe for the pickings for these thieves, and they were not always well defended. But regardless, it's not a very good neighborhood, and as Jesus is entering into an unnamed village, he's approached by 10 lepers. Now, some real quick background, the reason why he was approached at that point was lepers were not allowed into the city. They were ostracized, set apart. But what I mean by ostracized, that means they literally were, by law, not allowed to live within the city, not to live with the other folks. They were to be separated. And they were often found at the gates, often found at the edges of the city. I'm going to remove this. I have to apologize. It's hard to talk like that. They were often found at the edges of the city gates to beg for whatever they could get, sustenance money. You know, they had no real way to provide for themselves. You know, as a leper, they were set apart from the rest of society. So let's pick up and let's read Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. And please read along with me as I read in the ESV. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return except, no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." So this morning I want to look at the 4 different C's, if you will, inside this lesson. The first one would be the characters. The characters involved in this historical account, because this did happen. This was a historical account of the life of Jesus. We have the circumstances that surrounded it, the conditions, as well as a comparison to today. So first, let's take a look at the characters. One is a Samaritan. We're told that by, you know, Jesus asking the question, you know, were there not 10? You know, where are the 9? You know, and this one's a Samaritan. This one's a foreigner. Understand that Samaritans were considered to be half-breeds, less than men. They were those that were the Jews did not have any business dealings with, or they limited them to the minimum amount as possible. So this was not, you know, this isn't just somebody from, you know, from Tennessee venturing down into Alabama as a foreigner. No, it's not one of those. These are folks that they consider to be less than. They consider the Samaritans to be not full people, but less than full. The other nine, although it's not stated, were probably Jews by implication, because Jesus here calls out that, hey, this was a foreigner. This was somebody that's not from around here. Regardless, all ten were lepers. And in those days, and I mentioned this briefly before, when you had leprosy, not only did no one want to be around you by law, you were removed from society. You were ostracized. Leprosy would inflict the whole body. It would affect the skin, the nerves, the membranes. It would, the glands. You know, it was also highly contagious. So the leper would spread his disease to everywhere he would go. He was required by law to declare unclean, to warn others as they approached him. Now, could you just imagine living in those kind of situations where, you know, you are required by law to declare yourself unclean, unclean? Now, I'm gonna apologize in advance. I oftentimes tell a story of things that have happened to me. The only thing I could even think about where I kind of thought of this story was one time I was having to visit a sensitive area, a closed area. This was over 15 years ago. And apparently they had gotten in trouble for lack of security apparently within the recent months. So I was literally going to go visit one person to help fix her computer. And as I entered, they turned on a blinky red light that was flashing up ahead of me. There was a guard in front of me, a guard behind me, and I could hear all the doors shutting and closing all the way down the hallway except the one I was going to. And the guy in front of me was shouting, "Unclear," with about every five steps. It was, my mind immediately went to this story of the ten lepers and how leprosy was treated. But could you just imagine, that is how you are to declare yourself as unfit, unclean. Stay away, warning people, get away from me. You know, leprosy in that time was akin to being one of the walking dead. You know, although it could go in remission, and we have, in the book of Leviticus, we have the steps that need to be taken for someone to be declared clean again. And I'll get to those briefly in a minute. But, you know, leprosy could last 20, 30, or more years. It would, in most cases, be a death sentence for those that contracted leprosy. You know, body parts would become incapacitated and wither. Again, you'd have to immediately leave your family and leave the city. And not just that, but your way of life. If you're a tent maker, who are you going to sell tents to? I mean, you have leprosy. You can't. You have to stay away. And the other lepers ain't got no money. So who are you going to sell your tents to? Or who are you going to get your supplies from? So it impacted not only their ability to stay with their friends, stay with their family, stay with their community, but it also affected their ability to even earn a living for themselves. You know, you were not only ostracized, but whatever future you thought you may have had, now gone. That was the conviction when you were a leper. That is essentially what you had looked forward to. And oh, by the way, leper colonies existed throughout history. There was actually two that I was doing research for this. I actually found that there were two that were in the United States. One was in Carville, Louisiana. Another one's in a name of a place I can't pronounce, in Hawaii. Now, I don't know if you got to pick which one you got to go to. I know where I'd go, but I don't know if you got to pick. But people were sent there essentially to segregate them out. Essentially, they stayed there until they died. Now, they did eventually find a cure in the 1940s for leprosy, which if you look it up online, it's something called Hansen's disease. It's a bacterial infection. They found a cure for it. But if you think about it, I was reading an article from the 70s where some folks that were sent there, even though there had been a cure already since the 40s, they were sent there as a small child, and they knew nothing else. So they were going to live out their days in that colony. It's very, very sad stories to read. But I mean, that was what the leper had to had to look forward to, and that's not much of a life at all. You know, no doctor at that time could heal you. It was an incurable disease. And in Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 and 46, I want to read that real quickly, but it paints the very sad picture of the leper in those days. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean, he shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall be his habitation be. But now notice, getting back to the account of the story that we just read about, these 10 lepers had a knowledge of Jesus. They had heard about Jesus. Now, they were not told how much they know about him. We're not told how they learned about him. But they definitely knew him. Now, again, put your place in their shoes back in that time. You have been diagnosed with leprosy. You have been ostracized, set apart, removed from your family and loved ones, removed from your ability to make and earn a living, to even, you know, have the respects of being an equal man, because you were so shunned. And you hear about Jesus. You hear about a healer. A man that has not just a snake oil salesman, to use a modern phrase, but you know, this is somebody that's a real healer, somebody that is going around and curing people, performing these miracles. Of course you're gonna want to seek him out. Of course you're gonna reach out to them if you have a chance. You know. So it's natural for these folks to not only hear about Jesus, but to seek him out. He is the person that could give them real relief, real healing. So here you have, again, there you have the characters involved in this historical account, the 10 lepers that are involved in this this lesson. Let's move on to the circumstances. Now notice here, as they hail Jesus from a distance, we're not told how far away, Jesus pauses and takes the time to speak to them. You know, many would pass by and ignore for their pleas. And to be honest, you know, if somebody were to pass by, it would be hard for us in our modern times, in our cold hearts sometimes, to blame them. This person has not only a deadly disease, not only has something that will ostracize you from your family and remove you and put you in their state, but it's highly contagious. You don't want to be anywhere near that. So I can understand why people would shun them, would stay away. But notice here, Jesus here tells them from afar, go and show yourselves to the priests. That's all we're told. You know, leprosy could go into remission, like I mentioned. According to the old law, the priest had to proclaim the leper as clean. And I'm not going to read through the entire account here, but if you pull up the book of Leviticus chapter 14, the first 10 verses details what must be done by the priest in order to declare the leper clean. But it could go into remission. But notice here in verse 14, I want to revisit it and reread it. Chapter 17, verse 14. When he saw them, speaking about Jesus, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Now notice this, Jesus tells them to go show themselves to the priest, which is the necessary step to be declared clean before Jesus heals them. You know, leprosy was something that was often visible. You could see the deterioration of the skin. You could see how it deformed some of the faces and stuff. It was very, very, very visible disease. It was something that was very, very easy to pick out. This is Scott speculating here, but I'm pretty sure one of the lepers could look at the other lepers and say, that guy ain't clean yet, but he told us to go see the priest. But you notice what they did. They went. They did as they were commanded. They demonstrated their faith, and they went, and they were healed. And that's a wonderful example about faith, and about although we don't necessarily understand what we're told to do, sometimes we need to do it anyway. But I'm not going to dive off on that. It's just a fantastic lesson that the lepers teach us. as far as, you know, all the evidences that they could see as they're being told to go show yourselves to the priest, go show, take yourself to the person who's going to declare whether or not you can go back to your normal life or not, whether or not you can regain your family, whether or not you can regain your ability to retain your livelihood. Oh, Joe Bob next to me still got that stuff all over his face, but we're told to go show him. But they went anyway. You know, we don't understand sometimes what God, you know, directs us to do, but, you know, we don't necessarily understand why God puts up restrictions upon us, if you will. You know, there are things as Christians we are not to do. We're not supposed to do according to His Word. You know, there are things we're to stay away from. We might not understand it, but we, through our faith in God and our demonstrated by obedience to God, you know, these lepers here were healed, and so can we be. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. So there you have the circumstances in this historical account. Thirdly, I'll talk about the conditions. Notice here that only one of the lepers returned to give thanks to God, to give thanks to Jesus, the man who has healed them. Again, they had demonstrated their faith. The 10 lepers were told by Jesus to go and show themselves to the priest, and they went. A great demonstration of faith. A great demonstration of that. All 10 of them were healed as they were making that journey. And one of them turns around. We're not told how far they got before they've noticed it. We're not giving you those kind of details. But regardless, one of them turned around and came back. And Jesus even asked, and in verse 17, He says, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? You know, all 10 of them could now finally rejoin their families. All 10 of them could now have another chance of their life and their livelihood. All 10 of them, Scott's opinion, were very, very, very happy to no longer have leprosy, to no longer have that disease which was destroying them, which was destroying them physically and was destroying them their ability to even have a family, have a livelihood. But where are the 9? Jesus asked. You know, absence from giving praise and thanksgiving, you know, what is an act of obedience if it's not from a grateful heart? You know, does God want us to begrudgingly do any part of our worship? Does He want us to begrudgingly sing? Does He want us to begrudgingly give? Does He want us to come to Him in prayer because it's the time and we just have to do it? Of course not. You know, it's all about the heart. It's all about being of the right heart. You know, when the 9 lepers were afflicted, they sought Jesus. They sought someone who could heal them. Those 9 lepers were closer to Jesus in their affliction than when they were once they were healed. You know, many today turn to Jesus in times of affliction than more so than in times of blessings. You know, a lot of lives have been shook up and stirred around with this current pandemic that we're living in. A lot of our worship services have changed, but, you know, a lot of the way we have delivered His message, deliver the gospel, has changed. But, you know, we are a blessed people to this day, no matter what's going on in the world around us. Something that has happened to, you know, at Marineville, where we attend regularly, is, you know, we've gone to live streaming our services. We now have 2 services to try to cut the numbers down. We have an early morning service and like a 10:30 in the morning service, and to kind of separate us out a little bit, basically cut us in half so we have fewer people. We've got a young man there who works for Facebook, and he's helped us set up the live streaming for Facebook as well as YouTube and a few other things. And the numbers of people that are now watching Randy's lessons are in the thousands. It's an amazing thing. It truly is an amazing thing. You know, people in times of affliction seek out Jesus, seek out someone who can heal them, someone that can comfort them. You know, as in this historical account that we read about, you know, the conditions around it, we see the 10 lepers seeking Jesus, seeking to be close to Him, seeking His healing power, but we only see one that actually is grateful upon receiving it. You know, it's a beautiful lesson, this whole story this whole historical account on faith, on gratefulness, on seeking out healing, and I'm certain on a whole bunch of other topics, but I don't want to dive off too much into those, as I want to quickly touch on the final C, which was the comparison. Now, I'm going to submit to you this morning that leprosy in those days is like sin today, and please let me explain why. Leprosy in those days was incurable by medical science at that time. Like I mentioned before, we call it Hansen's disease, modern day, and a cure was eventually found in the 1940s. But back in those days, there was no medical or man-made cure for leprosy, and there is no medical or man-made cure today for sin. You know, leprosy had a numbing effect on the victim. It was one of those things where if leprosy infected your hand, it would damage the nerves and you'd slowly lose the ability to feel in your fingers and your palms and the back of your hand, and you'd lose the ability to, you know, feel the wood or feel the pencil, and you slowly just, it would numb the limbs as it attacked the glands and the nerves and the skin, and it would slowly numb you. You would have no feeling, where eventually you could do serious damage to your hand or do serious damage to another part of your body that was affected by it and never feel it. Leprosy would numb you. Well, sin will numb your conscience. You know, the first time that you sin, against God and against your family or those kind of things, I don't know about you, but whenever I have done that in the past, it really, really, it upsets me greatly. There have been times where I've lost sleep or stomach will be turning over and those kind of things. I just feel, it really, really bothers me. I really, really struggle with it. But that second time is a little bit easier. And that third time, it gets a little bit easier. And after a while, you kind of become numb to it. Again, leprosy and sin are both numbing. They're both, you know, your conscience becomes seared to the sin. And it's one of those things where over time, you begin to lose the sensitivity to committing that sin. It doesn't seem to be as big of a deal anymore. Leprosy destroyed people physically. It would kill them. As it would grow more severe. It would be life-threatening. It would destroy their ability to earn a living. It would destroy their ability to spend time with their families. It would destroy you, not only just physically, but again, it would take you away from your family, your livelihood. Sin also destroys people physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Sin destroys marriages. Sin destroys families, friendships, even livelihoods. You know, I'm going to speak on this, and I'll try to keep this as PG as I can. I had a long, long time ago, a couple careers ago, I worked in IT out on the base. And I was asked to deliver some information for someone on their computer internet browsing. And this was very, very early on in the days of the internet. And apparently, some gentleman had basically become addicted to adult sites. And I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not going to go any further than that. To a point where he was now ignoring meetings, assignments, and those kind of things. So they basically were putting together the paperwork to remove that person from his job. So this person started down the path and got so addicted to looking at that kind of imagery. Look, I don't know the details of what it was, and I don't really want to know, honestly. He became so engrossed in it. That sin took such a part of his, such a deep hold on him, that his conscience became seared, and it basically they fired him. I don't know if that gentleman was ever able to find work again, but regardless, that sin destroyed his ability to work there or ever again for the federal government, by the way. It took hold of him. It seared his conscience. You know, so sin can indeed cause physical as well as, you know, emotional and definitely spiritual separation. You know, sin is what separates us from God. That was why Jesus was sent here, was to pay that price, to pay the price that needed to be paid because of our separation from Him. Now, let me continue on here. I heard this quote one time, and I don't know who said it. I'd love to give proper you know, the proper credit from where I heard it. But you know, when you're talking about sin, three things will always sin will always do. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. I want to read that again. It's so simple and yet so eloquent. Three things sin will always do. Sin will take you farther than you wanted to go, keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and cost you more than you wanted to pay. I'll submit to you that gentleman whose job was removed, he was removed from it. When he first started going down the path of looking at those kind of images, I bet you he didn't have the grand idea. Hey, you know what? I bet you if I do this, I'll get fired. And that's exactly where I want to be. Sin took him further than he wanted to go, made him pay more than he wanted to pay. You know, sometimes we don't recognize the seriousness of our own sins. We take them lightly. It's not so bad. Everybody does it, etc., etc. Well, our sins are so serious that it took the precious blood of Christ as the only thing that could pay that bill. You know, nails were driven into his hands. Nails were driven into his feet, and not some of those nice, pretty, skinny nails. These suckers were fat, honking nails to hold somebody up to that cross. They had some weight to them, and therefore, you know, they didn't have a lot of the metallurgy techniques we have today, so these are not the nice, pain, you know, relatively painless ones. These were painful. These are some of the most painful. This was one of the most excruciating deaths that the Romans could put upon somebody, was to hang from the cross. They were driven through his hands, driven through his feet. Thorns were placed on his brow. You know, the agony and suffering, the cross, that's what it took to remove sin. You know, before we make light, before we try to dismiss as everybody does, please try to paint in your mind, this is not a minor flippant thing. This is something that is serious and was deadly serious to my Savior Jesus Christ. So that is the comparison between leprosy and sin. You know, a leper who has been cleansed should give thanks and should glorify God. How much more should a man or a woman that has been cleansed from sin be thankful to an almighty God? You know, one can go through the motions of obedience to God. One can go through the motions of worship and not have the grateful heart. We do indeed have much to be thankful for. We do indeed have much to be grateful for. You know, I mentioned the people that are looking at our worship services upon our, you know, our streams and our websites just at little bitty town of Marineville, Alabama. How that will ripple through God's kingdom, I'll have no ability to know. But again, it makes me smile just to think about it. You know, we, no matter what our challenge is, we are thankful. We are to be we are blessed, and we are to be thankful and grateful for it. You know, we're thankful because we have a risen Savior. We're thankful because that risen Savior brings hope in a very, very desperate, in a very, very sinful world. We have hope. You know, and we have revelations of God's will concerning how we're to be saved. 1 Peter 1, verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That is what awaits us as brothers and sisters in Christ. And that is a wonderful, wonderful blessing to each and every one of us. Jesus has paid that price for our sins. He was the only one that could. And if there's anyone here this morning that has not made that commitment to be a child of God, who has not accepted His cleansing blood, who has not had their sins washed away to be buried into Christ through baptism, and then arise a new, clean, cleansed child of God, we implore you this morning, please consider that as we're here this morning. Or for someone here that is struggling, that is having difficulty, this pandemic or the struggles of the world have pulled you away, have made the gratefulness of your heart dissipate. Remember James 5:16, where it tells us, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. For the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There's a lot of power in prayer in this room, and we'd love to pray with you and pray for you. If you please come and stand while we sing.